Good afternoon. This is Brother John Osborne here at the Landmark Baptist Church Assembly, and we're thankful that you have joined us once again to hear more from God's Word. Last Sunday, preaching out of Ezekiel chapter 37, we're going to be there again today. Probably be there for another couple weeks. But we're taking a look at Israel and how Israel was revived as a nation May 14th, 1948, and how that was major Bible prophecy. My mother was alive. My father was. My father was 15 years of age when that took place. Before the older ones who were reading their Bibles, the Christians, that was, I'm sure, a very exciting time for them as they saw Israel come back as a nation. They had read in the Scriptures, as we have and are going to see more of, how that Israel is spoken of in the last days, and how that God would be with her, not only in the last days, but in the millennial and in eternity. Israel has a special place with God. No other nation can lay claim to this. Only Israel can. And then I brought up last week how that on October 3rd, 1932, major Bible prophecy, old Mesopotamia was recognized as a nation, and that's when the name was changed to Iraq. And then 16 years later, on May 14th, 1948, another major Bible prophecy came about, and that was, a lot of people call it the rebirth of Israel, but Israel's, you can't be birthed twice. So I've called it that myself, but I've been thinking about this, and so I'm calling it the revitalization of Israel, or Israel being recognized as a nation once again after 2,000 years. She was recognized as a nation on May 14th, 1948. And that is a major Bible prophecy. And the reason why that is because, as I mentioned last week, 99% or more of end time prophecy deals with Babylon, Iraq, and Jerusalem, Israel. And you can see that in Revelation. Starting in chapter 7, God gets his 144,000 Jewish virgin preachers. You can read about them also in Revelation chapter 14, verse 1 through 5. And you read about Babylon in chapter 17 and 18. And especially chapter 18, where God is destroyed. So why am I spending so much time on this? It's because that Israel is God's prophetical time clock for us to see where we are at on His divine schedule for time and for the earth and for the world. And we're at the end of His schedule. Now, I realize that there's a 7-year tribulation period and a 1,000-year reign, but for the world to continue as it is today, time is running out. The last few grains of sand in the hourglass is falling down before the rapture. The rapture will end this age that we're living in. The age that we're living in, if you read Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 through 27, and we've mentioned this as well, we are living in between the 69th week and the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy. And those weeks are what's called heptad weeks. Those weeks are 7 years long. And Daniel didn't know anything about the church age, so when God gave him that prophecy, the 70th week follows right in line. But when you study more scriptures, other scriptures on prophecy, you'll find that there's a parenthetical period between the 69th week and the 70th week, and there's about 2,000 years between the 69th week and the 70th week, and we are living in that time right now, and that will end with the rapture. Now, last week, we saw about the shaking and the rattling of the bones. Verse 7 and 8 says, Ezekiel says, "So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. And then verse 9 says, then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. So we saw last week the shaking and the rattling of the bones. We saw the Dreyfus trial. Remember that? Alfred Dreyfus was a captain in the French army, and he was accused of handing the Germans highly classified information, falsely accused, and he was eventually exonerated. And then there was a French-born person by the name of Emile Zola who wrote about that, and he wrote an article called J. Accused. And it was about how that Jews or with Dreyfus especially was falsely accused, and so he even wrote in there that the captains of the army were under the thumb of the judges that condemned this captain was under the thumb of the French military. So they were trying to frame this Jewish man. Now that evening, that the paper printed his article, they sold 200,000 copies. Now, this man, Emile Zola, was a famous man, and so people were familiar with seeing his writings, but when they saw what he wrote, that paper sold 200,000 copies. Now, we want to take a quick look at Theodor Herzl. He was a correspondent in Paris for the Vienna newspaper, which was called the New Free Press. And he came into contact. He realized how much anti-Semitism was there in France. And so, in 1894, he writes a drama called The Ghetto. And he hoped that his purpose of writing that was to show what the Jews were going through and experiencing as far as anti-Semitism. And he was hoping that it would bring together the Jews and the Gentiles. And the Christians, or should I say the Christians and the Jews, not the Gentiles, but the Christians and the Jews. And Christians that read the Bible say it were always friends of Israel. Christians in all generations have always been friends with Israel, even though we realize Israel is, as a nation, is blinded from the truth of Jesus Christ. We love Israel because Israel is the wife of God the Father. Now, Theodor Herzl was also there at the Dreyfus trial. He saw the wrong that was done. And he goes to the Zionist leaders and really pushes for them to start thinking about finding a homeland for the Jews. And he made the remark, he said, the Jews will never be safe or accepted in the Gentile world. And that is true. But he knew that the Christians would look very favorably upon his people, the Jews, and the land of Israel. And here is one preacher that you're listening to that does that very thing. I will, if it come down to fighting, America fighting Israel, I'll put on a Jewish uniform and fight for Israel. I will not raise my hand against God's people. And so what happened was, the result of Thomas Herzl talking to the Jewish leaders, it caused them to come together, and as we saw last week, they held their first Zionist meeting over in Basel, Switzerland. And so now this movement, this Zionist movement, is gaining strength. We saw last week also in Matthew chapter 24, verse 32 through 35, where it is referred to as a fig tree. And Jesus said, when the fig tree putteth forth its leaves, you know that summer is nigh. And then he went on to say down there around verse 35 that this generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. I want to remind you where we're at on God's schedule. When Jesus said this generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled, he's talking about all those things that he mentioned in Matthew 24, starting at verse 15 all the way down to verse 31, which are things that are going to happen after the rapture here on earth during the tribulation period. The youngest person of that generation that saw Israel, or they didn't see it, but was there when Israel became a nation, they were infants, are now 74 years of age. That generation is getting ready to leave this world. Now, it could be another 20. One of them might live to be 105, 108 years old. We don't know. But I do believe that we're in the generation that's going to see the resurrection and the rapture because of that parable of the fig tree. And I believe that we're in the generation where that there are going to be those that's on the earth right now that will be left behind. Now, when the Zionists met in Basel, Switzerland, they realized that they needed a homeland, and so they asked England if they could settle in Uganda. And the reason why that they asked England, that's because England's empire was tremendously large. There was a remark made that the sun is always shining on that empire. And it was. At one time, it was so large, it was daylight somewhere on that kingdom. But after they turned their backs on Israel, the kingdom began to shrink. And today, the United Kingdom is not even hardly a shell of what it used to be. Now, the English refused the request, and they suggested that they think about their ancient homeland. And that's to be accredited to two men. We'll get here just in a minute. Lord Balfour and Lord Lindsay, who were members of Parliament at that time, they are the ones that went back and talked to their Parliament colleagues and suggested that they need to consider the ancient homeland. So the Jews, migration begins towards Israel even before the Balfour Declaration, but most of the Jews that were in Europe were content. They did not want to leave. There was nothing attractive about the homeland, the ancient homeland. They were happy in the ghettos of Europe. They had their businesses. They were successful. Most of them had good jobs. If they didn't own a business, they were doing quite well. And so they did not want to go. The Jews in Germany, the history that I've read, the Jews in Germany even want to be identified as Germans and not Jews. They loved living there so much. But God was going to soon take care of that during World War II. It was not in God's plan for His people to remain in the Gentile world. Now, in Ezekiel 36, verse 6 through 12, you can read those verses and you can see where a prophecy of the land that would open up and start bearing fruit for God's people, the Jews. And so even the land of Israel began to change as the Jews returned. What you need to do, you need to get on the internet, and you need to look, just type in Land of Israel, 1880 to, say, 1990 or 2000. And you will find a website that will have photos of the Land of Israel in the 1880s and 90s, and all the way up in close to our time, and it does not even look like the same nation. Now, yes, the Jews have worked the land, but it does not even look like the same country. God has blessed the Jews' efforts to work that land, and they've turned it into a beautiful place to live. So today, after 74 years of Israel being declared a legitimate nation, the deserts have been turned into orchards, gardens, and places to live. The land has come alive for the Jews and to the Jews. And it's not to even be compared to what the land will be like during Jesus' 1,000-year reign in that land. The whole earth is going to be redone before that takes place. God, the Father, is not going to give His Son an earth that has been destroyed by His wrath for Him to inherit. He's going to redo the surface of the earth after the tribulation period. And you can read in Isaiah 11 and 12. You can read in the Psalms where Israel's king is in the midst of her. And you can see that it's going to be a beautiful, very beautiful place. And the 1,000-year reign is going to be it won't be interrupted, but at the very end of it, between it and the eternal state, you're going to have what's called the Great White Throne Judgment, Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15. And then, after that, what's there in the millennial will just fade off into eternity. It's going to be a beautiful place. Now, there's another Jewish man that played a major role, along with Thomas Herzl and Emil Zola and David Ben-Gurion. And his name was Dr. Chaim Weizmann. Now, I used to pronounce his name Cam because it's spelled C-H-A-I-M, his first name. But in the Hebrew, you pronounce it Chaim. Dr. Chaim Weizmann. He was a Jewish scientist working for the British government. And he, during World War I, he developed a synthetic acetone that helped the British develop smokeless gunpowder, which helped shorten World War I. And they were so thankful that they offered him a blessing or a boon, B-O-O-M. And what that means is a blessing or a request. And so Dr. Chaim Weizmann was a Zionist as well. He played a role in the Zionist movement. And being a Zionist and having attended the second Zionist movement meeting in Basel, Switzerland in 1898, he asked for a homeland for his people. He asked the government. Well, as I mentioned here earlier, Lord Balfour and Lord Lindsay, both, who were members of British Parliament, requested that Parliament grant the Jews migration freedom to go back to Israel. They are the ones that suggested to the British Parliament that tell the Jews they need to consider their ancient homeland. Even Dr. Chaim Weizmann was thinking about other places for his people, and it was these two men that first told him, you might need to consider your ancient homeland. And so the Balfour Declaration, Lord Balfour and Lord Lindsay, both members of British Parliament, requested that Parliament grant the Jews immigration. And that's what the 1917 Balfour Declaration did, was it gave permission for the Jews to leave their empire, which was a very large one at that time, and go back to their homeland. Well, the Arab nations were not happy with that. They still aren't happy with Israel. You take there's Iran, and they want to obliterate Israel. Syria has been, you can read about Syria in the Old Testament being enemies of Israel. But I'm here to tell you, Israel's going to be there when all those guys are gone. The Arab nations were disturbed by the Balfour Declaration, by the immigration of the Jews coming back to their homeland. So the British, who needed Arab oil, succumbed to the pressure that the Arab nations were putting upon them, and they wrote what was called the 1930 White Paper Treaty, which was to end Jewish immigration to Israel. That's not good. When you go against Israel, it's bad, bad, bad. Do not go against the land of Israel. I believe America has been blessed immensely because we have been friends to Israel. We've been her ally from our founding days. In 1939, the ambassador for the British government, Neville Henderson, now listen to this, he was ambassador from 1937, 1939, and in 1939, he asked the Germans to help slow down and even stop Jewish immigration to Israel and other places. Now, by this time, Hitler in 1933, as we'll see here in a minute, was already starting to persecute the Jews. You cannot tell me this man that held this high of an office in British government did not know about that, and he goes to the enemies of Israel and asked them to help stop the Jews from migrating. And because of that, by the end of World War II, the British Empire was already declining in size. And as I stated earlier, today it's only a shell of what it used to be because of that. As I stated, the sun was always shining. Can you imagine having an empire so large that the sun is always shining? But it's not like that no more. As I said, the British Empire today, the United Kingdom, is just a shell of what it was. Now, God told Abraham in Genesis 12, verse 1 through 3, He said, I'll bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee. When you pick on Israel, you're picking on Abraham. And God loves Abraham because He loves Abraham so much, He used him to be the type of how that we're saved today. We're called children of Abraham today in the book of Galatians. Why is that? Because Abraham was saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. We are saved today by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, Ephesians 2, verse 8 through 10. And so, God said, I'll bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee. And I love it where he says, I'll bless them and that bless thee and curse him. Those that's going to be punished for not being good to Israel will be punished individually, and I'm glad of that. I'm thankful that God, of course, America deserves the fires of hell right now with what's going on in the country. But just because we might have a president that doesn't love Israel, thank God he's not going to punish all of us who do. But God said, I will bless them, plural, that bless thee, and curse him, singularly, that curseth thee. The British Empire turned their back on the Jews, and God has punished them for that, and still is. In 1939, the Jews fleeing Germany was on a ship called the St. Louis, and that ship came over here and set off the coast of Florida for 2 weeks. It's even said that they were so close they could see the lights of Miami, and we never let one of those Jewish people off. But today, Joe Biden and the Democrat Party is letting millions of South Americans come through our border, and we got all these restrictions about COVID. We had these mandates and all these mask mandates, and those that were coming in illegally did not have to abide by that. Now, why did they do that? Because of votes. Here we wouldn't let one Jew off in 1939, and we're letting South America move into our country today through the southern border. We've seen the Valley of Dry Bones, what the shaking and coming together means. It represents Israel. In May 14, 1948, we saw where the bones coming together and covering those, the bones coming together and the flesh covering those bones represents, in verse 7 and 8, it represents the nation of Israel in the condition they're in. It says at the end of verse 8, but there was no breath in them. Israel today, even though they're, it's not that they're lost as a nation, it's just that they're blinded. And there's individual Jews that go to hell because they don't believe in Jesus Christ. But Israel's already had a relationship with God. But we saw last week in Jeremiah that she's been divorced. Israel's in a state of divorcement right now. And so the bones come together and the flesh covering the bones, but being lifeless represents Israel today at her spiritual condition. She's dead in her passions and convictions towards Jesus. They're still waiting for Jesus to come. And they've been in this spiritual condition since the days of Jeremiah. That's why the Jews in Matthew chapter 13, verse 54 through 58, had a hard time believing that Jesus was their Messiah, because they said, is this not the son of Joseph? And is not his mother and his sisters, his brethren here with us? In other words, what they're saying is, we watched this little boy grow up. Are you trying to tell me that's our Savior? Yes, that is your Lord and your Savior. But they could not see that. As a nation, Israel is lifeless. They're as lifeless as the bones in Ezekiel's visions. And so, in a vision that we saw here, dry bones in verse 2 says, and they were very dry. Now, Abraham and Moses are held in high regard by the Jews today. They're held in higher regard than Jesus Christ is. If you read in the four books of the gospel, when the scribes and the Pharisees always coming up to Jesus trying to trick him, Moses said this and Moses said that. And then they accused Jesus of being a bastard child in John chapter 8. They said, we be not born of fornication. Abraham is our father. And of course, Jesus rebuked them. But what did Abraham and Moses say about Jesus? Well, Abraham, according to Jesus, rejoiced at the day that he would come. And Abraham lived about 2,000 years before Jesus was born. John 8, verse 56, Jesus said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." In Acts 3, verse 32, Moses, who is held, I think, in the highest regard, Moses told them that the Lord thy God shall raise up a prophet like unto me, him shall ye hear. So Moses was looking to Christ. Abraham was looking to Christ. The Jews would be in Europe today if God had not moved them out. As I mentioned last week, the Jews, and I just mentioned earlier today, the Jews in Germany did not want to be identified as Jews. They want to be identified as Germans. They did not want to become part of the Jewish community, but they want to become part of the German community. Now, if it was left up to the Jews, Bible prophecy would have never been fulfilled in Israel, becoming a nation on May 14, 1948. But God's schedule is not left in the hands of man. Now, God permitted a very terrible thing to take place to get the Jews out of Europe and into their ancient homeland, and that was the Holocaust. There was an Austrian-born child by the name of Adolf Hitler, April 20th, 1889, who became the Chancellor of Germany in 1933. He quickly adopted the anti-Semitism that was growing in France and Germany. And from 1933 until the beginning of World War II in 1939, Hitler and the Nazis made hundreds of laws that restricted and excluded the Jews and all others from society. Anti-Semitic laws were passed throughout all levels of government to get it ready to persecute the Jews when Hitler came to full power. April 1st, 1933, Hitler implemented a national boycott of all Jewish businesses. April 7th, 1933, Hitler introduced a law for the restoration of professional public function, which excluded all Jews from state service. This law was to exclude all Jews and non-Aryans or whites from any organization, employment, and from any other aspect of public life. In 1938, Jewish doctors were forbidden by Hitler to treat any of the Aryan race. November 9th and 10th, 1938. Remember this. Was called Kristallnacht. And that word means crystal night or the night of broken glass. As pogroms or quick acts of violent acts of violence broke out in Germany and Australia and in Sudetenland. During these 2 days, 100 Jews were killed and 30,000 Jewish men were sent to concentration camps. Unless you know your Bible prophecy, why the Jews stayed in Germany was a mystery, but it was God's permissive will for them to stay there. The Holocaust, some 6 million Jews lost their lives. Over a million soldiers lost their lives. There were terrible experiments done upon the Jews and the people, other prisoners that were there. Hitler took the bodies of the Jews and made soap out of them. He took their hair of the women, stuffed them into pillowcases. He extracted the teeth from the Jews to get their goat fillings. And unless that man repented, he is in hell today burning. This is Brother John Osborne here at the Landmark Baptist Church Assembly here at W. Wyring at 1480 AM. We pray that you'll join us next Sunday at 3 p.m. And until then, may God bless your soul. God bless.